Today has fitted in very well with what I feel to share in terms of various things that have been said, including a lady over this side prayed a few minutes ago in terms of coming as we are, just as we are. I'm not sure who prayed that, but that was spot on. Showing a picture on the screen there. A bunch of perhaps normal, ordinary people. Some various faces and various grimaces and so on. It's actually about 20 years old, this photograph. It was from a newspaper. And I'm using it as an illustration of what most average churches are like, except for the fact that most average churches don't have that many men in comparison to the ladies, because actually statistically, certainly in the West, it's far more ladies in church than there is men. But this is a bunch of ordinary people. The actual photograph, when it was originally put in a newspaper, was, believe it or not, and you could believe it, I'm sure, there was an article that was basically expounding the idea that a group hug at work could be a good idea to improve morale. I think you probably, the same as me, would have exactly the same reaction as some of those people. You're kidding. Exactly. And there's the one lady there that's going, my chance to give him a hug. Just like normal life would be. And that to me, and this is where I'm hoping I'm not going to offend anybody, but that is just like the average church. It's a bunch of ordinary people. It's just that I'm saying that with all due respect to everybody here, because when I said that phrase once before, I then found out somebody had been invited to a garden party with the Archbishop of Canterbury. I know another pastor who's been honoured to go to Buckingham Palace. In fact, friends that we know, Cliff Roberts, etc., went to Buckingham Palace to a garden party this last week. And actually, you may be in that category. You may be, you know, that type of person. But the average normal person that comes to church, we are a bunch of ordinary people. You know, and I'm using that term as we are a bunch of very ordinary people. We're normal, ordinary people. And if you looked at that group of people, I'm sure we could actually have an idea of the difference between some of those people and us. When it comes down to it, they're ordinary people. They have their ups and they have their downs, just like we do. We have our ups, we have some downs, we have our positives, we have some negatives, and we have some, a lot of very bland existing. We sometimes get high and mighty in terms of how we think, I'm this and I'm this and I'm this. But actually, when it comes to it, take yourself when you're in your normal insecure moments and balance that between when you are in your high moments and your insecure moments, and say, we are actually somewhere in between most of the time. We don't always have a high and we don't always have a low. But there's a scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, for I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. Most of us have problems sitting down and working out what all our positives are, except when we're applying for a job. Because if we're applying for a job, we can scrape them all up from everywhere because we want to get the job. We want to get that job. So we tell them how wonderful we are at doing this, that, and the other. But actually, we usually have to scrape those things together. Because we do have this flow of up and down. The scripture there tells us we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. There is a place that we ought to think of ourselves as God has made us. And there is a place in terms of, well, okay, in balance, God has made me like this, and he's put these gifts and these talents and these abilities within me, but it's all of him. And so if we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, we're in pride. And on the other hand, if we think of ourselves more lowly than we ought to think, then actually that's also a form of pride, Because that's putting ourselves lower and not recognizing that God has put us in a position, give us certain talents to be. In fact, the word dictionary, according to the word sober, according to the dictionary, is described as free from exaggeration, not intoxicated. Free from exaggeration. So we're supposed to think of ourselves without exaggeration and not intoxicated. The thing, if you've been around, okay, let's say none of you have ever been drunk and had too much to drink. Look anywhere. But certainly, you know, some of us perhaps have a bit too much to drink every now and again if we've had an extra couple of glasses of wine than we perhaps should have had. It's very easy for to see other people. Let's think about other people rather than ourselves. It's more comfortable. We look at people who are being intoxicated, and they tend to be exaggerating what they think they can do. They think they can fly. They'll go up on top of a building, and they'll think they can fly, and they jump off to their death. They think they can get in a car and drive it 50, 60, 70, 80, 120 miles an hour because they're intoxicated. They're not thinking soberly. And it's exactly the same in our lives. We're supposed to think soberly, not intoxicated. We're thinking, we can do this. We are fantastic. We can do everything that we want to do. Let's think of ourselves in line with what God has made us and what he says about us. Something you can read in your own time, a little bit more in depth. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to the end, I'm going to summarize this. Take a look at this bunch of people. And perhaps better not look around ourselves and see ourselves described. Maybe just sort of examine ourselves individually with this. It summarizes in the summary of this, these few verses. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren." Brethren, brothers and sisters. "Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble people are called." There are some, thankfully, and we all know people who are elevated above our level. They're wise, they're noble, they're very intelligent, and we think, like, compared to me, you know, they are way up there. There are rich people who walk in circles that us, we would never walk in terms of, because we'd never be invited into some of the circles that some of our Christian brethren are in, because God has given them the ability to move into that and given them the means to move into those things. But there's not many. The vast majority of us are very ordinary people. So not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has specifically chosen foolish people, the weak and the despised, those who are not this. You can put all they are not what. They're not beautiful. They're not talented. They're not walking in circles that they can just walk boldly into, see the prime minister and just go knocking on number 10 down the street and be able to walk in. The vast majority of us are not called into those things. And the reason that God has done that is that none of us can glory in our own abilities. None of us can glory in the fact that we are something. God has specifically chosen an army of ordinary people. To quote a chorus, we're a very ordinary bunch of people, exactly like this lot. If you took those as individuals and said, okay, if you knew those people personally, you would know their ups, you would know their downs, you would know that some of them have got great gifts, and you'd know that at the end of the day, they also have their low moments and what their negatives are. We all have our positives, we all have our negatives, because that's the way that God has made us. He's made us so that we have limitations and we don't think of ourselves up there or down there, but to think of ourselves soberly. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Our first example of the day is this. This is a little pate pot, or other various things that come in these little pots. It's so insignificant, it'll be made for coppers, it'll be bought by a company who makes pate, and they'll stick it in there, and then they'll sell it for, let's say, £1.50 or £2 or something. But that is very insignificant. And if I said to you today, who'll give me £10 for that. Any takers? For a tenner. £10? No? Okay, that's because it's a very ordinary vessel. It's very ordinary, very normal, just like you and me. But if, for instance, I said, okay, this isn't a Rolex watch. But if this was a Rolex watch, and I put it in, and I said, okay, who'll give me a tenner? Okay, who'll give me, okay, let's start a bidding. I once used this example in India, and I asked the lady, one of the ladies on the front, would she do me a great honor of letting me have a dowry necklace? And it was at the time, this is years ago, and at the time, it was worth, I think, something in terms of 1,200 rupees, which at the time, inflation has dropped it down completely now. In the time, it was a lot of money. And of course, the value went up straight away. And even more so because of the value it was to her. What makes that pot valuable now? The treasure that's on the inside. What makes you valuable? The content, the person that is the content that is on the inside of us. We're a bunch of very ordinary people, a pot, an earthen vessel that God has chosen to put himself in. That's what makes us valuable, not the earthen pot. We are still an earthen pot. Does anybody remember the film Pete's Dragon? Yes. Okay. It's my wife's bugbear. She hates the film. And she has never forgiven me in 35 or so years for telling her I thought it was a fantastic film and getting her to sit down and watch it on Christmas Day. Because, spoiler alert, Pete's dragon... the dragon is an animated dragon. Pete is a real boy. Mickey Rooney's in the film. And Helen Reddy, is it? Those who remember, I think, I'm sure it was Helen Reddy. And Pete is lonely. And the dragon comes along to help Pete. And at the end of the film, my wife's never really forgiven me too much for it, because at the end of the film, spoiler alert, the dragon leaves Pete. And there were floods of tears in our house because I spoiled the film because I didn't tell them. I waited till the end. And then my wife was in tears. Our one child, I think, at the time was in tears because I didn't say that Pete's dragon actually leaves at the end. But that's all by the by, because the point I want to make is this. In that film, Jim Dale, he was one of the characters in it, says to his sidekick something along the lines of, you're an idiot when I first met you, and I've taken you alongside, and I've trained you, and we're doing this, that, and the other, and you're still, all these years later, you're still an idiot. And actually, when you think about it, we in ourselves are still the same in the flesh as we were the day that Jesus found us. Because in our flesh, the Bible says, Paul says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. He is set, calls himself, I'm the chief of sinners. He saw himself in his flesh as being down there. That without God, despite the fact that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul saw his limitations. That in his flesh, he was still an earthen pot. Yet the same guy turns around, writes 2/3 of the New Testament. The same guy turns around and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul turns around and he says that he can do, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work in us. So God can do exceeding abundantly, he can do way up there because of the treasure within us, above everything we can ask or think, because it's him working within us. And yet he can do that through the earthen vessel. He can do that through the person who calls himself the chief of sinners, because it's the treasure within that's doing the works. Jesus himself said, it's not me that's doing the works, it's the Father within me that does the works. I only judge as I hear him tell me to judge, because Jesus, whilst he was God and is God, he was in a human flesh, human body, and he came in that weak human body, and he said, I need to rely on my Father. which is why he went and spent so much time with his father, to get God to inspire him and tell him and guide him in terms of the things that he should be doing. Because Jesus in this flesh saw himself as being a very ordinary, weak person. Why can I say that? Now, you may have a problem in accepting that. But if Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, what was the purpose of tempting him if he wasn't able to sin because he was in a normal human body? If he the verse that says about he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because if we don't serve a high priest, it can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin, because he was a flesh, human, ordinary person. But the treasure of God, his Father, was within him. Because if it was just the fact that he was, and he is, and he was, Christ, God's Son, on earth, and yet he laid aside his majesty, as we sing the song, and became flesh for me, so he could take on the sin of the world. Because God himself, if he was perfect in that human body, taking on the sin of the world could not happen. He had to become flesh in order to do that. I know that's maybe controversial, but work that through in terms of the scriptures I've said to you there today. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Because it's the treasure within that makes all the difference. If you're going to glory, glory in the fact that it's Christ within me, the hope of glory. We were singing earlier on songs in terms of our identity in Christ. We can pick out people by their normal idiosyncrasies, our normal idiosyncrasies. But actually, when you think in terms of Christ within me, hopefully there are times that you see Christ within one another. And you see that the way that person has acted and reacted today is so totally out of character of how they would normally be, like snapping at somebody. But actually, there are times when we catch ourselves and go, God, give me wisdom to say the right thing at this time. Then it's God that gives you the wisdom. It's God that gives you the calmness to act in those situations. It's not you, because you're still just a human flesh. You're still just a clay pot. You're still a very ordinary person. As offensive as that may sound to us at times, and if somebody walked up to you in the street and said, you're a very ordinary person, you and I would probably be a bit offended. So we're saying it in church, so it's easier to accept in church. Our issue is sometimes saying it outside. But actually, that's why I'm saying, reflect in terms of what we are like outside. Outside, it's where we snap. It's outside that we snap and hit somebody who cuts us up on a roundabout or steps out in front of us, you know, and you idiot. And then you go, did I say that? Did that come out? Because outside is where the flesh manifests itself, because we're still people in the flesh and we still have our ups and downs. Take this as a picture of a bunch of very ordinary people. And I've taken it over there already. My second illustration. I wrote down on this piece of paper, imagine this lot. And I went, okay, they're a very ordinary bunch of people, just like us. So there's a mixture of people in there. There's a mixture of us all. The Bible says God's chosen the foolish. He's chosen the weak. He's chosen the despised. He's chosen the people who are not. But actually, God's also chosen the proud. Because thankfully he has. Because that's us sometimes. He's chosen the unrighteous in order to make them righteous through him and his indwelling presence. He's chosen people who are envious in themselves, jealous in themselves, who are likely to fail and likely to fall. He's chosen unbalanced people. He's chosen people who are impulsive. He's chosen the imperfect. He's chosen foolish, angry, impatient, are not. Thankfully, I'll put my hand up and say, I qualify. Because I'm amongst that list of people. And if you put those that list of titles against those people, which I've said is like us at church, and you said, okay, that's the label. It's all negative stuff. Okay, bear that in mind. I want to read a scripture to you. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says this, for instead of your shame, you will have double. Double shame. And for your confusion, they will shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. You're going, instead of my shame, all this negative, I'm going to get double. And yet I'm supposed to rejoice. I'm supposed to be happy about it. And I couldn't figure out for years what that meant until I heard a Bible scholar explain what the double was in Bible days. Anything as a bunch of ordinary people, all the negative stuff is written down against them. All the negative stuff of our lives is written down as a list in front of us. And even if we don't own it sometimes, everybody else knows exactly what we're like. Oh, it's just so-and-so. They're always like that. That's, you know, they could be great, but they also have their negatives, exactly like the rest of us. And what would happen in Bible times is if you were seriously in debt and you could not get out of it, you would take your debts and you would write them on a sheet and you would nail it to your doorpost to let the world know the mess that you were in. We don't need to do that a lot of the time in our lives. Everybody knows the mess we're in because they see our ups and downs. But in Bible days, they would put their debts on a piece of paper. And during the day, a rich man would go down the road, maybe on his horse or his donkey. He'd have his servants with him. And he would see these sorts of things. And he'd go, that one over there, and that one over there. And the servants would go over to it, and they'd take that piece of paper with all the debts and all the negatives written on, and they would double it over. They would nail it back into the doorpost, and the rich man's name would be put over it. That was doubling over all the negatives. Now, in future, if you've got a problem with this guy, if you have a debt he owes you, and it's on there, you no longer go to this man to see it. You go to this guy to see it, because he will pay it. Because he said, I've covered over his sin. I've covered over his negativity. I've covered over his negative stuff. Come and see me about it. So you have a problem with Chris? Come and see me. Now, there. But it's not me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that comes by and stands beside each one of us, has turned over and doubled against our debts and said, you got a problem? Come see me. I will make it right. Our debts are covered by somebody. Thank God, literally, they are. In ourselves, we still, in our flesh, have all the negatives. We still, in our flesh, are those things. Paul saying, in me that is in my flesh, inverted commas, in brackets, still dwells no good thing. But in him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's been doubled over. I can of my own self do nothing, Jesus said, but I do all things that he tells me to do, because God has doubled over what Jesus was in the natural, in the flesh, because it was God's spirit indwelling him. So when it comes to us, we're still in the natural, as foolish, as daft, as silly. And some of our positives today, as we were when we were non-Christians, in the natural, because it's only because the fact that we're still human beings and we're still in a fleshly pot. But that's not changed. That's why we're told to bring that before him as a living sacrifice on a daily basis to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because our spirits are perfect because he's made them perfect, but our souls, our natural selves, and our flesh is where we have all the problems, all the temptations, and all our ups and downs, and all our times. That's because that's what we are in our flesh. But God has changed it all around. In him, he has made us, and he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He has made us. He has made unto us. All the positives are down to him and down to his name. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because Christ's on the front and he is the treasure within, that he can do those things. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could possibly ask or think, according to the power that I'll allow to work within me. If I'll allow his treasure to be manifested from within me on the outside, he will be glorified and I will see it's not to do with me, it's all to do with the person who's living within me. So you and I, next example, you can see we did at least have kids at one time and now we've got grandchildren. You may, I found these in a cupboard, you may be one of those people who have all their ducks in a row, that's the phrase that we use, and they'd be perfectly in line and everything's spot on, but very, very few of us have all our ducks in a row, because we still are in the human flesh and we still are all over the place at times. We still have our ups and downs. You may even be an oddball that doesn't really even fit in to all the normal ducks in a row. You may have all your ducks in a row, but you're still an oddball. But he's able to use oddballs because he's able to use weak, failing, fleshly, weak, poor people just like us who haven't got their ducks in a row, who are still oddballs, because he will actually put his anointing on us to do what he's called us to do. God will anoint those he appoints to do, whether you've got your ducks in a row or whether you're an oddball or not. If he calls you to do something, he will anoint you in line with his appointment. So he appoints and he anoints. So when he says to you, okay, I've called you to do this and I'm going to give you an anointing to do it, then the anointing is the treasure that's on the inside. The anointing comes on top of an ordinary fleshly earthen vessel. It's still exactly the same as it was. He empowers us to do what he's called us to do, but it's his empowerment in us. So for instance, there may be some well-off people in this room. You may flow in circles that I don't flow in. You may be able to afford a tuxedo and have a limousine that takes you to Buckingham Palace and walk in and be there like that. But actually, the vast majority of us aren't. The vast majority of us would probably either buy a low-priced tuxedo to go or hire one, and we'd really have to save up to get that limousine to take us there. But because we are still very ordinary people. But God will empower us to do whatever he's called us to do. So he within us will pay the bill for what he calls us to do. So he says, okay, I'm calling you to do this. So I will dress you in robes of righteousness. I will equip you to do what I'm calling you to do. So you're still in yourself very ordinary. You're still the clay pot. My last example. I'm wondering what this is. What are these called? Kitchen utensils. I don't know how much they would be these days. These are years old. In fact, obviously, they're odd ones as well. This is an oddball. It doesn't fit with the other ones, just like the duck down there. It doesn't really fit. And there's probably only one thing you would do with that, and that's whisk something. It wouldn't be any good to take an egg out of a frying pan. That wouldn't be very good to take a frying pan, take the egg out of it. That's spot on for what it's been made to do. God has called you and equipped you and made you exactly what he wants you to be in order to do what he wants you to do through him. He is going to do things through each of us, spot on in line with how he's made us. And you may just be a very ordinary, slightly battered, well-used, 20, 25-year-old out-of-date thing that could get thrown away and get a new one instead, but it's still useful, and it will still do what it was made to do, just like you and me. Sometimes we feel battered, bruised, knocked about, a bit old and, you know, perhaps a bit past our best, but actually, are you still useful to do what God's called you to do? Are you still available to do what God's called you to do? This is no longer available at our house because I bought it away. So if my wife was looking around for it today, she wouldn't find it because it's not there, it's not present, it's not available. Are you there, present, and available for God to use when he wants you to use, to be used, to do what he's called you? You may be only useful for one thing. That's only really useful for one thing, and that's flipping omelettes or flipping pancakes, or unless you chuck them up in the air. It's useful for one thing. You can't hammer nails in with that, but it's great for scooping out something out the frying pan. That, great for scooping out stew or soup or something out. But you may be very ordinary. If you're available, you can be used for what God wants to use you for. Very ordinary people. It may be a bit discouraging sometimes when we think, if people said to us, you're very ordinary. What do you mean by that? You know, I'm not just very ordinary. But actually, when you think about it, God calls us very ordinary so that the excellency of the power working within us is obvious. It's of God. It's not of us. It's that God can be glorified in our lives. We're still very ordinary pots. We're still very ordinary oddball ducks. We're still very ordinary, low-priced but useful utensils if we make ourselves available. Today's message, in addition to our identity in Christ, is actually the difference between your ability and your availability. We've all got abilities that God has put within us, and God will use us according to the abilities he's put within us. But actually, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above those abilities according to the power at work within us if we'll make ourselves available to him and say, God, I'm here. I'm only a very ordinary spatula, but I'm here. I'm available to you. When we got saved, many of us perhaps responded to an altar call. And the altar call Billy Graham used to use a lot of the time was, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, oh, that you bid me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come. We have to do exactly the same when we're Christians. Just as we are, without one plea, because we're still earthen vessels, but that thy blood was shed for me, the fact that you've made yourself come and dwell within me as an earthen vessel, the treasure is you within me. And so, and you bid me come to you. So God, I'm coming just as I am without one plea to say I'm available to you, Lord, to use me, even if I'm a basic, simple spatula. Just use me, God, wherever you want me to be used. I want to close with just summarizing beginning of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This is the prophet Isaiah. And I would challenge you, try and find something negative about Isaiah in the Bible. He was one of the prophets. You don't tend to read anything in terms of his negative. He will have had them because he's a human being and he lived on the earth. But we don't tend to read that he was a great failure in his life. He wasn't one that went and sat under a juniper tree or hid away in a cave and said, I only am left, take away my life. You don't hear all the negatives. But in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then it talks about the seraphims, the angels that came around shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then Isaiah, the prophet of God, says, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen, even though he got his ducks in a row, his eyes saw the King, and in comparison he said, woe is me, I'm undone. However many ducks you've got in a row, each one of us is still not perfect. We still earthen vessels. Isaiah saw his negatives, and he said, woe is me, I'm undone. Then flew one of the seraphims to him, having the live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar, and laid it on my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. It's God that makes the difference. Despite, we have to recognize that we have the negatives. Say, God, well, woe is me. Look at me. I'm in the state I'm in. I'm very ordinary. I've got all these negative things going against me. I need you to turn the double over on my life and become the things in me. So God, this is me. This is as I am. The Lord will cleanse our lips, cleanse our hearts. And then he says, after he's done all that, he says, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah then says, here I am, send me. He says, I'm available. Firstly, he recognizes negatives. He recognized, woe is me, I'm undone. He was then purified. His lips were then cleansed by the angel coming and touching his lips with the coals from the altar. Then he's, God, I'm available. I'm still a pot. I'm still a very ordinary person. I've needed you to cleanse me, but I'm available. Here I am, send me. And what did God say? Go. My challenge to each of us today is, are we available? Recognize your negatives. Recognize that the only reason you stand is because you have the positive side of Jesus Christ living within you. Recognize that you're a sinner and needed a savior in order to bring you into a relationship with Jesus. In your flesh, you're still, boom. You're still the oddball. You still haven't got your ducks in a row. In your flesh still dwells no good thing. But are you available for God to use? Now, you may think in terms of, is this a call to become a missionary and to travel overseas like Peter does? Is it a call to go to the outer wherever? Yes and no. Are you available for God to use to speak to somebody down the road today? Are you available to speak a word of encouragement, a word of building up to somebody that you meet, perhaps after church or tomorrow? Are you and I available to do and to be and to say whatever God has called us to be? Are you available? Forget your ability, because your ability, even in Paul's life, he got all his ducks in a row, but he saw, I've got all my negatives. Are you available for God to use? And that is my challenge to each of us today. And I want to give you, I gave Chris the nod I was going to do this. I just feel to make it an opportunity. If you want to say to God today, here I am, Lord, wholly available. We're going to sing that as a closing song. I'd like you to stand up. You're not standing up for me. You're standing up before God to make a declaration to God. Here I am, Lord, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I will be available to do and be and go wherever you call me to go. Then stand up. Chris is going to pray for you. And then make yourself available to God. listen to his call, listen out and watch for the opportunities that God will give each of us to be able to be used as a utensil. Nothing big and important maybe, but just available to stir, available to scoop, available to minister to people in their lives where they're at. Feel free to stand up. I'm going to go and sit down, and then it's up to you.